Do you struggle to feel close to God in the middle of your hectic, stressful days? When your mind is racing, prayer can feel like just another task instead of a place to rest. Discover a new way to connect with God in Prayer in Motion by Jennifer Tucker. This beautiful guide helps you weave prayer into your everyday routines through simple movements, grounding practices, and connection tools. Even in the middle of your busy life, God is near, inviting you to rest in His presence. Prayer in Motion is available now wherever books are sold.
They think we're lazy.
They think we're weak-willed.
They think we're entitled.
They think we're selfish.
They think we don't care about anybody but ourselves.
We are compassionate.
We are resourceful.
We are capable.
We want to make a difference in the world.
We are underestimated.
Imagine taking a step back and looking at the people we've been electing in our country. Would these be people that we truly support if they didn't share our political views? Has our country traded in ethics and morals for partisan politics? In the near future, will the divide in politics become so great that our citizens don't even have the basic rights our country was built on anymore? These are questions that were in our group's mind as we started the year.
We are investigative journalism students in high school. As students, soon to be young adults, we are looking out at the world trying to find out how we fit in. What we are seeing is an absolute mess of political scene in the country. That prospect is terrifying to us, which is why we choose this as our podcast topic.
My name is Asia Peterson.
My name is Colton Tonkel.
And my name is Bailey Bauman. In this 6-episode series, we are going to investigate how partisan politics are affecting our country and lives.
It is clear to see there's a huge political divide in the United States of America. To understand why there is this huge split between both parties, it is important to understand the history behind our current political system.
Politics have been divided in the U.S. since our democracy came into existence in 1776. The first political split in the United States emerged not from a single issue, but from fundamental disagreements about the new nation's directions. The original divide pitted the Federalist Party against the Democratic-Republican Party in the early 1800s.
The battle lines were drawn between Alexander Hamilton's and John Adams' Federalist Party, which advocated for a strong centralized federal government. That left Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, the founding members of the Democratic-Republican Party, with legitimate concerns, fearing power so great it would crush individual liberties. The air was thick with anxiety of a young country that was unsure if it was going to be destined for glory or collapsing down to dust.
During the War of 1812, the Federalist Party collapsed and the party officially ended their run as a national political force by 1816. This allowed the Democratic-Republican Party to have a major power during this time. But their power was short-lived, within the illusion of unity shattered in the messy and personal election of 1824, tearing the Democratic-Republican Party apart.
This led to a new party lineup, with Andrew Jackson supporters forming the Democratic Party in 1828. The party embraced a vision of states' rights, limited federal spending, and interests for the common man. On the other hand, the Whig Party was formed by the opponents of Jackson's supporters, the National Republicans and the recently collapsed Federalist Party. Their dreams of federal power, national expansion, and economic growth were big. But the party's alliance was fragile.
These two parties were ultimately shattered because of the Kansas-Nebraska Act of 1854. This act disintegrated the Whig Party by spreading issue of slavery. An outrage over this act led to the upbringing of the Republican Party in 1854. This new party attracted the recently collapsed Whig members, soldiers, and anti-slavery Democrats. In the mid-1850s, we also saw an exposure of the American Party, also known as the Know Nothing Party, who capitalized on anti-immigrant and anti-Catholic views.
It was successful at the time, but the Know Nothing Party was unable to stay together because the members started to leave with the national debate over slavery and the number of violent incidents that tarnished the party's public image. Many of the Know Nothing Party members joined the New Republican Party.
During all of this, the Democratic Party had major power in the political force controlling the residency and Congress. But when the Republican candidate Abraham Lincoln was elected president in 1860, his victory caused the secession of the southern states, triggering the Civil War and finalizing the Republican Party.
With both parties being established, this created an alignment of the modern two-party system, with the Republican and Democratic parties dominating the U.S. politics ever since. Voters' feelings towards both parties have changed a lot, with anger and hatred against each other. Back when voting just started, everyone was just happy to be able to vote. And a candidate who won just won, and life went on.
But with the introduction of social media, people are now seeing their thoughts, opinions, beliefs, and feelings on these platforms. This had created an upsurge of political debates, with some influencers being known for their political opinions, such as Dean Withers and the late Charlie Kirk. Over the past few years, political disagreements have gone from arguments to violence. Charlie Kirk was shot and killed while trying to have an open conversation about politics.
This is an event that would not likely have occurred in the past, when people's political opinions weren't so polarized. It is just one more event that shows not only is there a divide, but it is so deep it has become violent. I think it's absolutely crazy to see people so mad that they are willing to murder and kill someone because they don't like their opinion and views.
Divides and agreements in politics have always existed and are to be expected. But the extent to which the divide exists in America has reached a disturbing level. The United States is currently experiencing a divide so strong that people think poorly of those who think differently, or even prioritize certain issues over others. This is incredibly concerning and is also a relatively new phenomenon.
Spring has sprung. It's that time of year where everyone's coming out of hibernation and ready to spend time with their friends, new and old. And there's no better place to socialize over a delicious beverage than Second & Main Coffee House in downtown Niles. Second & Main, locally owned and operated, and offer the very best in coffee drinks, fresh delicious pastries, and cocktails. Right now, through the month of May, their spring specials include honey lavender lattes, white cho cherry chais, and coffee flights for just $13.50, and some great food specials as well. They offer some amazing, unique panini combos like cheesy pizza, chicken bacon chipotle, a Cuban panini, and more. They even have Italian and Cuban salads if you're looking for something on the lighter side. And no spring evening would be complete without a blueberry lavender spritzer out in the node. Really, the best part of Second & Main is that literally everything there is great. Their coffee is amazing, the pastries are to die for, and it's one of my favorite places to grab lunch on the weekends when I'm off of school. My absolute favorite order is a strawberry banana smoothie and avocado toast. But really, it doesn't matter what I order. I really just enjoy hanging out in such an inviting space with my friends. I highly recommend Second & Main Coffee to anyone looking for a great drink, a tasty bite, or even just a fun place to hang out. And right now, they have a special deal for Underestimated listeners. If you put in your order online, ahead of your visit, you can get 15% off with code COFFEE26. All you have to do is go to secondandmaincoffee.com, place your order, and enter the discount code COFFEE26. That's the number, 2ndmaincoffee.com. And use code COFFEE26 for 15% off your order. They'll be waiting for you when you walk in right through the door. There was a time in America not too long ago that was considered rude to even ask someone who they voted for. In today's culture, people will scour old social media posts looking for clues as to which party someone supports, all with the end goal of ending careers, boycotting products, or outcasting people from their friends and families. Most Americans could agree that we need to strive for growth and agreements, and both of these are found open and honest dialogue when it comes back to politics.
If people are thinking and talking so hatefully about each other, there is no way to have a productive conversation. Our country is in desperate need of a return to civility and tolerance. In order to get there, something has to change. But before we can even think about change, we first have to understand how we got here to begin with.
During our research, we found a study by the Pew Research Center. According to them, 70% of Democrats think that they are smarter than Republicans, while 55% of Republicans think members of the Democratic Party are more immoral than other citizens. On top of that, 90% of people who follow politics give their opposing party a harshly cold rating.
They're into killing babies. They're into giving everything away for free.
Republicans don't have empathy, and that's the only way that any of their beliefs make sense. They can't imagine anything happening to more than one person at a time, and that person is them.
They're into illegals, and they're determined to destroy the country.
Those are just a few of the responses we got when interviewing people at a local fall festival. Not only is there a spew of hate, but an incredible amount of confusion.
The first thing we decided we needed to know was whether people even knew what each party's officials were actually voting for. We decided to send our series of polls to our teacher's X account. The first question we asked was simple. What do you think that Democratic policies are on immigration? We let the poll run for 24 hours, and the results are very interesting. 21% of people selected relaxed enforcement, 26% of people selected an open border, 37% chose a strong and humane security, while 16% of people said to deport only criminals. One thing is clear in this data. It is all over the place. Our polling also revealed that a large percentage of people get their political information primarily from social media rather than traditional news outlets. That is especially concerning because anyone could post about politics online without needing to verify anything.
This points to confusion on what the policies being put in place even are. There is no way for citizens to make actual informed decisions when they don't know what is actually going on. This ideology was deepened when news sources began to have political views too.
Most major news sources today have severe bias. For example, if you listen to Fox News, you're going to hear that Republicans are always right and the Democrats are unintelligent. If you listen to a news source like CNN, you're going to hear that Republicans are evil and the Democrats are always right. It's hard to find out what is even actually happening politically. The news isn't necessarily reliable, but most people aren't even getting their information from the news.
During our polling, we found that 57% of people get most of their political information on social media. This is even more concerning than biased news sources. For most social media platforms, you don't need to have any credentials to post something as factual. This means every day people are posting about politics claiming what they say to be true, when usually there's no verification.
Eventually, the parties push the narrative that the other side is wrong, always. As seen in the data, there is tons of hatred from both sides, making this an easy narrative to push. The Democrats will always blame the Republicans, and the Republicans will always blame the Democrats, creating a vicious cycle of lies and exceptions.
I think it's incredibly ridiculous that adults in our country are behaving this way. There is bound to be disagreements. In fact, different opinions can actually be a good thing, but only if people are open-minded and willing to see the other point of view. When people believe others are uneducated, lazy, unpatriotic, or idiotic for their political views, our country is never going to progress.
When both political parties keep blaming each other, it becomes a lot easier for real abuse of power to go unnoticed. Corruption grows when there's too much noise and confusion. In that kind of environment, facts start to lose their importance. Accusations and arguments are thrown around so often that even real scandals get brushed off as political attacks.
For example, in June 2011, John Edwards was accused of soliciting campaign money to cover up an affair between him and Riel Hunter, a videographer. During the ordeal, many of his supporters either didn't believe it or ignored it. After a six-week trial, Edwards was found not guilty. After this whole ordeal, it was confirmed that he had an affair. While he did lose a lot of his supporters, there was a good chunk who still defended him and or excused his actions.
The same thing happened after the 2020 election when fake electors sent false documents claiming their states voted differently than they actually did. Those serious actions were lost in all the political chaos and mixed opinions.
Another overlooked example was when vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris claimed to an audience of millions of Americans during a 2020 debate that Donald Trump referred to white supremacists and neo-Nazis as fine people. Her social media post where she shared the clip claimed that Trump refused to condemn the hate groups.
We are talking about an election in 27 days, where last week the president of the United States took a debate stage in front of 70 million Americans and refused to condemn white supremacists. This is a part of a pattern of Donald Trump's. He, on the issue of Charlottesville, where people were peacefully protesting the need for racial justice, where a young woman was killed, and on the other side, there were neo-Nazis carrying tiki torches, shouting racial epithets, anti-Semitic slurs. And Donald Trump, when asked about it, said there were fine people on both sides.
But this is what Donald Trump actually said during the press conference Harris is referring to.
They showed up in Charlottesville.
Excuse me.
To protest.
Excuse me. They didn't put themselves down as neo-Nazis. And you had some very bad people in that group. But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay?
Her supporters believed it while others dismissed it, making it harder to tell what was true.
In general, people are less likely to see bad news about their own party because they mostly watch or read media that agrees with them. Our polling data directly supports this idea. For example, when asked what they thought Democrats believed about immigration, 26% of people said Democrats wanted completely open borders, something that has never actually been proposed by the Democratic Party. In fact, in recent years, the opposite was true. Here's former President Obama speaking about the Democrats' immigration policies during his administration.
You know, we all agree on the need to better secure the border and to punish employers who choose to hire illegal immigrants. We are a generous and welcoming people here in the United States, but those who enter the country illegally and those who employ them disrespect the rule of law, and they are showing disregard for those who are following the law. We simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked, and circumventing the line of people who are waiting patiently, diligently, and lawfully to become immigrants in this country. So that's why we need to start by giving agencies charged with border security new technology, new facilities, and more people to stop, process, and deport illegal immigrants.
While Democrat policies on the border have definitely laxed over the last two decades, contrary to social media narratives, the Democrats have never officially proposed an open border. In fact, during the Biden administration, over 500,000 undocumented immigrants were detained and deported. And Vice President Harris also campaigned on a secure border in 2024. With all that being said, our survey revealed that perceptions and narratives aren't typically shaped by actual facts.
Many respondents weren't basing their opinions on verified facts, but rather on whatever content they had already seen online that supported their existing views. Due to the fact that algorithms on social media platforms work to maximize user engagement, this often leads to amplifications of information and content that aligns with users' beliefs.
Algorithms exploit users by showing them videos that validate their existing beliefs, often called confirmation bias. Users are more likely to like, share, and post videos and stories that support their views than those that oppose them. And the more interaction the platforms get, the more money. Social media platforms are profit-driven, so the longer a user stays online and engaged, the more money they get.
On top of that, disinformation and fake stories spread fast online, making it harder to know what to trust.
The algorithm acts as an instigator by showing users negative content directed towards the opposing party. With a lack of fact-checking by users, it causes their opinions to only be based on information the algorithm gives them. This is especially prevalent during the election time. Algorithms during this time amplify posts that attack the opposing party. This gives users a warped view of public opinion and creates a more hostile environment.
Campaigns also use micro-targeting, which is using data to target specific audiences with personal messages that can reinforce existing biases. For example, a candidate could emphasize a particular topic only to supporters who have shown interest in it, while avoiding that issue with other groups. These problems hurt democracy because they destroy shared truth. Without everyone agreeing on basic facts, it's almost impossible to hold politicians accountable.
Corrupt leaders take advantage of this by spreading their own versions of events or even using government resources to help their allies and punish their opponents. One striking example is WhiteHouse.gov, which during the 2025 shutdown was not just used for neutral updates, but to push a partisan narrative. The site published an article titled "Democrats Betray Americans with Government Shutdown" that blames radical left lunatics and framed the shutdown as Democrats' fault. On top of that, WhiteHouse.gov displayed a live timer tracking how long the shutdown had lasted, including messaging that reinforced administration's blame on Democrats' storyline.
The 2025 government shutdown proves that our country is so divided, our government can't even continue to operate. Both parties are blaming each other. Republicans are saying Democrats pushed for funding to help undocumented immigrants, while Democrats say Republicans are using the shutdown to attack healthcare programs.
Polls show that many Americans, especially independents, blame both sides equally. In other words, no one is very happy about this shutdown. And rightfully so, an estimated 700,000 to 1.4 million government workers, not including the 900,000 federal employees who were furloughed and sent home, are without pay until the government opens again.
This idea that both sides are the same allows corruption to hide in plain sight. When people think every politician is dishonest, real acts of corruption just look like normal politics. Outrage fatigue sets in, meaning people stop paying attention because scandals happen so often. That makes it easier for investigations to stall and for misinformation to replace the truth.
On top of that, new technology like AI deepfakes and fake videos make it even harder for voters to tell what's real. For example, before the 2024 New Hampshire primary, thousands of voters had gotten a call, supposedly from Joe Biden, urging them not to vote in the primary and to save your vote for the November election. It was later found that this call was an AI-cloned voice of Biden intended to suppress voters.
Another example is the altered Kamala Harris video, where a manipulated video of Harris, generated by AI, spread around the internet and showed her seemingly rambling and making little to no sense during a speech. Although this video was debunked by fact-checkers, the fake video was made to portray Harris as inept, and this video received millions of views.
AI has changed voters' perceptions drastically. Experts suggest that AI-enabled content primarily preaches to the choir, meaning it generally only targets those who hold the same view as to enforce political biases and keep voters rather than changing minds. In a similar stance, AI has now over time made leaders less accountable and more focused on protecting their own power.
In the end, political division and constant blame give corruption an ideal environment to grow. When leaders care more about winning arguments than doing their jobs, and when citizens stop trusting anything they hear, democracy gets weaker. Honesty and transparency can't survive in a system where facts are optional and people are always angry. The more divided everyone becomes, the easier it is for corruption to thrive right in front of us.
For a very long time, there has been a huge political divide in our country. However, in recent years, we have clearly seen a huge upsurge of hatred between the parties. Most people have a negative opinion of the party they don't identify themselves with. This hatred and misinformation is allowed for corrupt politicians that don't necessarily represent the voters' true views.
Many politicians pay off the news sources, and a large number of people don't even use the news for their main source of information. They use social media. The two parties, Democratic and Republican, have both become corrupt. The leaders we are electing are just who the parties told us to vote for. And if names and faces were removed, they would likely not be put into positions of power.
Many of our recent presidents have been accused of sexual assault or rape. And yet, we still elect them. Simply because there is no other option. In a way, they are let off the hook for these heinous crimes. And almost even rewarded these abusers by putting them in positions of power. This is a topic we are going to explore more in depth in our episode next week.
Underestimated, Crashing the Parties was researched, written, and produced by Colton, Asia, and Bailey. Intro music by Haley. All other music by Shane Yoder. Our show artwork was created by Chelsea, and our series artwork was created by Colton. The Underestimated Podcast is a production created in the Brandywine Community Schools Broadcasting CTE program. We want to thank you for listening and a huge thank you to our community sponsors for supporting us and helping to fund our work. Please make sure to leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Underestimated.